Amen. Thanks, Albert. And good morning to everybody. It's great to see all of you. We'll just wait for them to do the tithing and then we'll start. Did all of you get some of these? Milipata. Okay, let's talk a little bit about them this morning. So we're busy with a series on the parables. And this morning we're going to look at the mustard seed and the yeast. You find those two parables in Matthew as well as in Luke. Mark leaves the yeast one out. He replaces it with just a seed that's sown and then it carries on. So I've combined them because those two writers did combine them, and I think it's a good way to look at them. But let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and may it find fruitfulness in our lives, in Jesus' name. Friends, just on the parables, there are three types of parables. There's kingdom parables. Those are the ones that we're busy with at the moment. It starts off by the kingdom is like. But then later on you find grace parables. It's about grace. And then lastly, there's some judgment parables. But don't get too excited about judgment, because it's not always what you think it is. And just before I start, I've got a storybook here. I read it the other day, or earlier this year. It's written by a guy named David Baldacci, and the title is Daylight. That's about a woman. She's like a CIA type girl, so you don't mess with her. But when she was six, she had a twin sister, and they were abducted. And that sister disappeared. So they don't know where she is or what happened to her. Now The cheeky thing to do when you read a book like this is to go to the last chapter, because then it's not so stressful. So then you say, okay, you know, there's some terrible things happening along the way, but in the end, it's all good. Who read books like this? Or like that? Yeah, Grant does it like that. By the way, Grant and Charmaine and Devon, they just away for a couple of days as a family. But friends, the Bible, you should be cheeky. Read the last chapter before you read the first chapter. Otherwise, you're going to get bad theology. It's a story that's unfolding, but it's one story. It's one thing. It's one truth. It's not something that becomes more true as you go along. It's true all the way, long before this book was written. So if you want to be cheeky with last chapters, do it with the Bible. There are things there in the last chapter that I don't understand, but it's encouraging. And that's the way to do this. So we're going to just read from Matthew chapter 13. Now, just before we get there, remember the first two parables that we looked at? It's the parable of the sower. So the sower goes and he sows seeds and it falls on four different places. And there's lots of things that you can draw from that. And then from the second one was about weeds, you know. So the farmer, he sows seed, but then there's also weeds coming out. And then, you know, the disciples, they did not read the last page. So they immediately want to, you know, the people in the story, they immediately want to go and wipe out the evil stuff. Because they, in a sense, they don't understand the full story. But then Jesus makes this comment. He says, leave it till the end. Because then it's not what you think it is. And then we come to this one. So let's read. Can we just, let me just, okay. Ach, toch. Okay, that's from the Passion Translation. Jesus taught them another parable. Heaven's kingdom can be compared to the tiny mustard seed that a man takes and plants in his field. Although the smallest of all the seeds, it eventually grows into the greatest of garden plants, becoming a tree for birds to come and build their nests in its branches. So friends, it's one of these, it's a seed. This is not a mustard seed, but it's a seed. But we all know the potential of this thing. Inside of this thing is food for many people. And it carries on and on and on and on. You just need to take one, put it back in the soil, and you have a lot of fruit. So the potential of this thing is far more than what you see. And that's a simple what that parable means. But it speaks of the kingdom, and it speaks of the kingdom that's sown as a mustard seed. So it's small, hidden under the ground, but it's going to grow whether you like it or not. Mark says that in his version, he speaks of the growing seed. He says, you know, when a farmer plants a seed, whether he sleeps or go to a party or do nothing, that seed is going to grow. All by itself, it says. It's going to grow. So, but then Jesus, he ends most of his parables. He says, he who has ears must listen. But what he's also saying is, keep on listening. This is not the end of the story. It carries on. So then he taught them another parable. Heaven's kingdom can be compared to yeast that a woman takes and blends into 3 measures of flour and then waits until some of the dough rises. What does it say? All. All the dough rises. So this seed, we lived in Rustenburg for a long time, and we had a lychee tree in our garden. But let me tell you, that thing was as fruitful as you can get it. You know, we lived there for about 13 years, and that tree, first season, was far too many lychees, just lychees for everybody. And every year it increased. It increased. In some years, some of the branches would break down. But you know, it was a shocker of it. It was one seed. And the guy that actually planted that lychee tree was in our church. But that thing, 40, 50 years down the line, every year has so many lychees that at one stage before December, you know, 1 or 2 years, the kids would, just before we go on holiday, they would go and get as many of the lychees as possible and make a staliki at our gate and get pocket money for the whole holidays. So there was just an immense amount of fruit on that from one little pup, a lychee tree pup. 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. It carries on. It never stops. So friends, a kingdom is like that. Its DNA is fruitfulness, whether we like it or not. So it's important to learn to read the Bible properly. You know, I remember last year I preached a sermon. I said, if you read the Old Testament, make sure that every verse that you read, you write Jesus over it. Let me give you an example. You know, there in chapter, in Leviticus chapter 13, there's these two priest guys, Nadab and Abihu. So they did something wrong with the offering and all that, and fire came from heaven and consumed them. It actually says fire from the Lord. So it sounds terrible, eh? But if you stop there, you might get a wrong picture of God. Because he's not about going about burning people. So later on, you'll see the disciples, they read the Bible, the Old Testament. So there in Luke, I think it's Luke 9 or so, they wherever they go through Samaria, and the Samaritans, they are hostile towards them. So John and James, the two brothers, Jesus called them sons of thunder. So they just wanted to call that same fire down and consume this whole bunch. And Jesus said, you don't know what you're talking about. Don't do that. So friends, we need to read the whole thing to find where it's going. So the Old Testament, it's important to read it because it's pointing to Jesus. And in the New Testament, it even from Jesus to Paul, you also need to consider the cross, the complete work of Christ, the resurrection, the everything that it's done, it's finished. You know, like Paul, for instance, you can read these and you can say, the kingdom is like, seed that's sown, but it doesn't fall everywhere. But actually, in the original language, it's the kingdom that's sown. It's everywhere. And we're going to look at it now here with the yeast parable. And what happens there? Because it's going to grow. And the seeds in our lives are, can, obviously these parables focus on the positive side, on the fruitfulness side, but it's the same with bad things in your life. You know, if you sow stuff in your heart that's bad, it's also going to bear fruit. You sow, and it's going to get worse and worse because the tree grows. In the beginning it's little, next year it's bigger, next year it's bigger, next year it's bigger. So be careful. So keep those little seed, put two of them in front of your toothbrush every morning and think, you know, there's good seed and that's bad seed. I just want to hide the bad seed and just make sure that I get good seed all the time. Because it doesn't happen like that. It takes time until it gets you. And then it's, we have trouble. So the mustard seed, friends, the moral of the story here is total success and fruitfulness. It says there, he sows the seed, it's going to grow up, totally successful. And if you read the last chapter of the Bible, you see it's true. There's a glorious resurrected church without any blemish in it. But there's a process involved with that. So the yeast, let's look at the yeast quickly because it's a, it makes us understand it better. Let me just read that again. Heaven's kingdom can be compared to yeast that the woman takes and blends into 3 measures of flour and then waits until all the dough rises. So how does this process work? Friends, you take yeast and you mix it into, now I'm not a baker, but Gisela can bake bread, but so you put the yeast is in the liquid that you mix the dough and everything with. So the yeast, and it's always part of the dough from the beginning. So what's Jesus saying? He says the kingdom is not something that's going to come when we do certain things. It's been there from the beginning. The world, the universe cannot be without the full presence, although hidden, of the kingdom right from the beginning. Now again, friends, remember you can read some of these parables and you think, now we need to do certain things for the kingdom to come. But when you read Paul, he says, Christ on the cross reconciled the whole cosmos to himself. Mysteriously before he made it. So the kingdom is hidden and discovered. You know, it's like gold in your garden. So you buy a house there wherever you live, and you drill a hole because you want to bore a hole, and you eat gold. So the question is, did your drilling create the gold or discover it? You see, it's important, friends, because otherwise we go on this journey of works. And people get tired of that and they stop serving God. But the kingdom of God is a discovery game. You discover what's already there. You cannot live without God mysteriously present in your life, whether you know it or not. And that's why Jesus encourages us, he who has ears, listen. Keep on listening. Listen and keep on listening. Try to understand. That's what they're saying. So now, this woman that bakes this bread, is, so the yeast is hidden in the dough. It's a big bread. It's genoeg vir ons almal. It's a big thing. Now she, so it's in there, and normally they cover it with a cloth or something, and then with heat. So yeast is three things, needs three things to rise. It's food, it's moist, and it's heat. So then you cover it, and then it starts to rise, the whole thing. And it rises by those three things, food, moist, and heat. And it says there, until the whole batch of dough has risen. Can you see the complete presence of the kingdom? But we don't see it now, so those three things, we must make sure that we embrace those three things so that we can start to see it in our lives. Because it's there. You know, when you start that dough process, it's the yeast is in, but you don't know it. It's hidden because it's just this flat piece of dough. But then it starts to rise and it becomes visible. And later on, when you bake it, you can eat it. And that's the kingdom in me and your life. It's profound, but it's present. You know, so now if you go and look at the weeds parable, he says, leave it till the end. You see, it's like this young boy. He goes to this place where this sculptor is busy making a horse out of this big granite block. So it's this block, and this guy eats this thing with a hammer and a chisel. And the little boy walks up to him and says, what are you doing? He says, now I'm making a horse. He says, but how do you do it? He says, now I'm chipping off everything that doesn't look like a horse. That's judgment. You see, God's going to chip off everything that doesn't look like us. The true you in Christ. He's going to chip it off. It's sear. It's painful, but it's restorative. Always. And that's what that the process that we have to allow God to work in our lives. So it's not I do some things and then the kingdom comes from out there and it comes. No, what I do reveals it. Some of you don't look too certain about that. It's a truth, friends. It's a so look at God, the creation, you know. So he makes Adam and Eve and then he breathes in them and they become alive. And then Jesus goes on and he calls himself the water of life, the bread of life, the breath of God, life. And when he blows on them, there's life. He says, eat of me and you will live. Can you see the things with the dough in there and the yeast? Those three things. It's there all the time with us. And we need to be diligent in that. So just to go quickly back to the dough and the yeast. So in yeast, there's these microscopic carbon dioxide little bubbles. And when those three things is applied, they expand. And that's the rising of it. And it's the same with the seed, with the mustard seed. Inside of this thing is a massive tree. Okay, this is a mealie, but you know, yesterday I looked at a picture of a baobab tree that is very big. I mean, all of us around it won't circle it. It's a big tree. But you know, the seed's this big. It's 4,000 years later, but it's okay. We're in this process where God's maturing us. So the end is sure. God's concerned about the process in our lives every day. He's going to accomplish what he needs to accomplish. That's why Paul, he prays that he says, the God that started the journey in me will complete it. We just have to ride along. And in the riding along, you know, it's like with your car, when you fill it up, they ask you, can I check your tires and your oil and everything? We just check all those things all the time. And we get to the end. But if you don't, your car breaks down in a Karoo and then you've got some other problems. But you're still going to somehow get to the Cape. Friends, remember we're dealing with a dad. He is God. He created the universe out of nothing. But remember, he's a dad. He's going to look after us. He's going to help us every step of the way. And when we get stuck and we lose our way and we go self, it's going to bring us back. Rob here referred to the prodigal. We'll get to the prodigal. He came back. The kingdom is designed like that, friends. It's designed to win you. It's not designed to destroy you. It's not designed to any... The kingdom of God is a magnificent story in every way. You see, Mark, he leaves the dough one out, but he puts two other small ones in there. He says, the kingdom of God's like a lamp. You don't hide it. You put it on a stand for everybody to see because it gives light. Remember, the dough to rise needs all these things. So he put it there, and he says, and it's also, it's you need to be diligent. Jesus encouraged the people. He says, you need to be diligent with these things. If you have ears that understand and eyes that read and whatever you have, that's what you need to understand better. So you don't become a doctor by sitting at home. You go to a vault, you study diligently for how many years? Then you're a doctor. And it's the same with following the Lord, with the kingdom of God. It comes by itself, but not. There's this paradox in it, because that's how it's designed to work. Remember, friends, the Lord does nothing without us. You know, if you read John, the first miracle that Jesus did was the water into wine. And it wasn't, God is so eager to dig into our lives that he almost can't help himself. You know the story there that the wine, they ran out of wine, and then his mother came and says, they ran out of wine, says, women, don't bother me, it's not my time yet. But you can almost see his mom, but when is it going to be your time? And then she turns to the servants and says, whatever he tells you, you do it. So Jesus immediately involves the people. He says, take those things, fill it with water and bring it to me. And then I'll, you know, whatever he did, and they took it. So we need to be involved in this process. We need to be diligent. We need to seek out the scriptures. So don't read Leviticus 7 and form an end theology with that, because you're going to miss something. Read the whole book, and especially the last chapter, because that's how it ends, if it ends. And you'll see in Jesus' teachings, friends, he brings it in, but it's not the full thing yet. So for instance, he will go and the young, rich young ruler will come and he says, I'm doing all these things. And then he tells him, but if you do all these things, then it will be okay. So what he's actually saying is you're going to be, it's by works, but it's not. You know, he's trying to show the guy that what he thinks is going to bring the life of God, make it real to him, is not going to work. So he pushes that point. But the full picture is Christ's complete work. And we need to look at it like that. When we look at the parables, the story carries on, and the fruitfulness and everything that God intends, by embracing the full story, we're going to receive the full of it. And the more we dig in, the more we participate in this thing, the more the dough rises in our hearts. That's already present. But if you never read your Bible, if you never engage with God, if you never do what this says we do, you're never going to recognize the kingdom in your heart and in your life. It's just going to be hidden all the time. You see, some people ask, yeah, but how can we see signs and wonders in the church? I think it's easy. We just start to pray for people, for one, that's sick. And if you've got guts, go to the funeral house and start to pray for people there. That's not alive anymore. You never know. You never know. You see, friends, it doesn't, it comes by itself, but not. That's the mystery. So I'll rather just pray for people, whether I feel full of faith or not. It doesn't ask you that. It just says, pray for the sick. Don't look so surprised. It's the truth. Friends, if you want to see miracles, do it. I mean, look at what Jesus, he speaks to, he sends them out, and they like, and then when they came back, they say, Lord, you can't believe what happened. He says, yeah, I told you. Just pray for them. And they understood nothing, those people, those 12 and 72, how many they were. So the principle is this, friends. Sometimes we pray that these things might happen, but we forget that we must do something. Some people don't look too sure. So friends, find things in our lives, just in closing, find things in your life to see the dough rise. The kingdom of God is a big principle, but it's the rule and reign of Christ in your life, in a community's life, and work on it. Not to find it, but to make it visible. The kingdom is here amongst us. It can't not be, otherwise we would not be alive. But by feeding it, in a sense, by digging in, we're going to make it visible. Like we pray for somebody and God does something. That's the thing, because like it says with the mustard seed, you plant the mustard seed, it's going to become a little tree, how big that thing even is. It's going to be a tree and everything's going to happen around it. If you put yeast in dough, it's going to rise. So let's do that. Let's encourage each other to do that. And let's also, if I see something wrong in Rob's life, there's a kakibos seed that he's playing with. Friends, let's be like that. Somewhere in the Bible, the one guy goes to his friend, he pulls his hair out. Because he was just suckling with stuff that he shouldn't do. Let's help each other. That's why some people don't have hair. They don't listen. Friends, is that okay? Yeah, the community of God's people is an engaging, busy community. It's not like on my own there and you on your own and everybody's on there. And we need to know that where we live, there are two types of seed. Kingdom seed and bad seed. Seed and weeds. So before somebody plant a weed, let's warn him. Because it's not good. But in the end, the goodness of God's the emphasis of the parables. It's not the bad stuff. In the end, good wins. So, in closing, the kingdom of God's present, and it is exceptionally fruitful. That's why Paul prays his prayer, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. Now, immeasurably means you cannot measure it. It is further, it's big. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than what you can ask, dream, pray, hope, wish, immeasurably more than that, because of God's life in you. Can you see it? Can you see how fruitful that is? And friends, that's not wishful thinking, that's the truth. And we need to challenge God on that, if I can be cheeky enough to say that. Work with him. Fight for your inheritance. Fight for the goodness of God. Fight for his kingdom to become real in your life. Don't give up. I mean, he brought the word wine. Don't give up. Fight. If you still breathe, you have to fight. You have to seek. You have to be diligent. You have to engage with God. Remember, he's preparing us for, who knows, big things, far bigger than what we think. So this process is going to not make it, it's not going to be easy all the time because there's all sorts of things. But we know that the kingdom of God's in us, with us, amongst us, and it's going to become more and more visible. The fact that we're all here this morning is a sign of the kingdom. It's visible for people. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your kingdom that's present, whether we know it or not. And Lord, I want to pray for every one of us that you will stir us day and night. Holy Spirit, stir us with your life. Reveal to us more and more who we are in Christ. Father, show us that the work of Jesus is complete. There's not just a discovery left for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, he thinks it's like a person that's got a talent for something. Let's say he's got a talent to play cricket. He's born with that talent, but the more he plays, the more he discovers how good he is. That's how it works. The kingdom of God with all its potentials in you and in us, and we're going to find it together. Have a great week.